grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you this day, on this rainy, dreary day, but God's day nonetheless, the day that God has made for each and every one of us together here this morning to worship and praise the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We just encourage you again to please mark down on your calendar the days that we have acknowledged in prior weeks, Vacation Bible School, Community Fest on August 6th, also the movie Under the Stars in beginning on July 21st, and also on Friday, July 28th. Please mark those days down on your calendar. Wonderful days of fellowship and fun, and also opportunities to engage this community with the good news of the gospel. So I hope that you all have those days marked down. And please also remember to go to our web page in order to stay abreast of all that is happening here at Olney Presbyterian Church. Our first scripture reading this morning will come from the book of Isaiah. We'll be reading from chapter 55 in Isaiah, verses 10 through 13, which is found on page 672 in your pew Bibles. So this time, let us listen to God's word for us. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there until they have watered the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and succeed in the thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out in joy and be led back in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall burst into song, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle. And it shall be to the Lord for a memorial, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Our New Testament reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew. We'll be reading from the 11th chapter of Matthew, verses 1 through 9, and then we'll skip over to verses 18 to 23, which is found on page 891 of your Bible. So at this time, let us listen to God's word again for us. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the lake. Such great crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there, while the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell on the path, and the birds came and ate them up. And other seeds fell on rocky ground where they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Let anyone with ears listen. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in the heart. This is what was sown on the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet such a person has no root, but endures only for a while. And when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, that person immediately falls away. And for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the lure of wealth choke the word, and it yields nothing. But as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields In one case, 100-fold, in another, 60, and in another, 30. It's the word of the Lord. Amen. We're going to be looking at some of the parables of Jesus from Matthew's gospel for the next few weeks. We all know what a parable is. They are those short, punchy stories that Jesus often told to bring home his message of God's kingdom. Part of the purpose of the parable was to kind of disorient and dislodge and interrupt our regular way of looking at the world so that we might begin to see things from God's point of view, from God's perspective. But that's what a parable is, and Jesus told many, many parables. I think my favorite parables are all in Luke's gospel, the parable of the prodigal son, the parable of the good Samaritan, and of course the parable of Lazarus and dies. But Matthew has a couple of my favorites as well. But I have to say this morning that the parable that we just read, the parable of the sower, is probably one of my least favorites, in part because I don't quite understand the actions of the sower in that parable. Thus far in Matthew's gospel, Jesus has received a lot of fierce opposition to his teaching. He's been going out along the countryside, proclaiming the good news, proclaiming the word of God, proclaiming the gospel, but it hasn't meant immediate success and universal acclaim. There is fierce opposition, even including among his own family. And so Jesus sort of retreats. He retreats to a boat on the lake, but we are told that the crowd still come out to hear what he has to say. And so he sees the crowds, and so he immediately begins talking in parables. Listen, he says, a sower went out. One of the things about Jesus' parables is that he often used everyday earthy examples that would have easily resonated with the people of his day. Many of them were probably farmers who spent many a day sowing their own fields. And so when Jesus talks about a sower, a farmer, they immediately understand and know the experience that he is referring to. But of course, the sower that Jesus talks about in this parable that he is telling is no ordinary sower. He is no ordinary farmer. In fact, he is an extremely wasteful farmer. I mean, he is just throwing seed all over the place. And please remember that back then, seed was very expensive. It wasn't something that you could buy on the cheap. It was something that was expensive, something that farmers wanted to make sure they had enough of. They didn't waste it. They didn't go out of their way to waste it. And yet we are told that instead of using this seed judiciously, that this sower is throwing the seed all over the place. He's throwing it on rocky ground. He is throwing it on thorny ground. He is throwing it on ground that has absolutely no chance of yielding any kind of crop at all. It is as if he is deliberately trying to make sure that every inch of ground has some seed on it, whether it can produce anything or not. No self-respecting farmer would do anything like that. It's a guaranteed recipe for failure. But Jesus says, listen, this is what happens. A sower goes out, and the sower is recklessly wasteful. None of us I'm sure, like to feel that we have wasted anything. We don't like the waste. We've been groomed not to waste. We don't want to waste time. We don't want to waste energy. We don't want to waste resources on anything that we fear won't pay off. One of the big commandments is thou shall not waste. And we don't like people who waste things. Many of us probably grew up hearing our parents say, don't waste that food, clean your plate. There are children in other parts of the world who are starving, so don't waste any of that food. We don't like to waste time if we can help it. We don't like to waste the exertions that we often engage in. I was talking to someone not long ago, and they were telling me that they spent several years in school studying in the field, and they're not even doing what they had studied for, what they went to college for, and they thought it was a terrible waste of time. I was listening to a politician the other day on the campaign trail, and he was saying, if I win, I'm going to cut all the waste and the fat from the local budget. And everyone was saying, yay, that's what we want, because we don't like waste. We like efficiency and frugality. None of us like waste. Howard and I were passing out flyers in the community the other day for Vacation Bible School. I suppose we passed out about 300 flyers going from house to house, sticking them in mailboxes and doors. Thankfully, Howard procured the services of two teenagers from his youth group to help us out. But I couldn't help thinking as we were passing them out that this seems a little bit wasteful. Most people probably are not going to read these flyers. They're just going to stay in people's mailboxes or stay in the doors. I wish we knew what houses had all the children. Then we could target those houses, and that would be far more efficient than wasting all this paper and effort blanketing the community with these flyers. And yet, Jesus says that that's what the sower does in this parable. He goes out and he is hardly efficient. He doesn't try to figure out where all the good dirt may be so that he can concentrate his efforts there. Instead, he just blankets the whole area with his seeds. Again, totally impervious to the fact that most of it is going to fall on ground that is totally unproductive. Little wonder then that I don't like this parable a lot. This is one of the few parables, though, where Jesus actually doesn't just let it hang out there. Indeed, he takes the time to explain it. He actually allegorizes it. He tells us what each element in the parable is. Jesus doesn't usually do that. He usually lets the parable just kind of hang out there as an enigma, but he takes the time to explain it, and he says that the seed in this parable is the Word of God. It is the loving, gracious, life-giving Word of God being sowed in the midst of the world. What a wonderful gift. God has not left us abandoned, but God has given us His life-giving Word to sustain us. I'm reminded of that passage from the prophet Amos where the prophet warns that a time is coming when there will be a famine in the land. Not a famine of bread or a thirst for water, but a famine of God's word. The prophet says people are going to be going around desperately looking and listening for God's word, but it's not going to be there. But not here. Not in this parable this morning. Jesus says that the Word of God is graciously, lavishly, extravagantly, recklessly being sold in the world. And so Jesus says that's what the seed is in this parable. It is God's life-giving Word. And Jesus also takes the effort to explain what the dirt is in the parable. The various forms of dirt or soil, they are all the ways the word of God is received or not received by all of us. Some people hear the word of God, but it doesn't penetrate at all. It just kind of sits there on their hearts because their hearts are hard and cold. We've all know people like that. I usually try not to judge people like that because usually they've been trampled over by the world. They've been walked over, and so their hearts are cold and hard. Hard for them to hear God's life-giving word. But Jesus says some people are just like that. Some people, he says, hear the word of God and receive it, but it never really penetrates very far. It never really goes very far into their hearts. Yeah, they may come to church from time to time. They may engage in some religious activities, but the word never really transforms them. It never really changes them. They never really understand it. It never really alters their way of life. And Jesus says some people are like that too. And then he says some people hear the word of God, but the concerns and the cares of the world just choke it all out. I think we know many people who are like that. They hear God's word, and maybe it even penetrates their heart a little bit, but then they get concerned about all kinds of other things. They get concerned about making a living. They get concerned about making money. They get concerned about taking care of their family. They get concerned about all the things of the world, and before they know it, God's life-giving, transforming word is kind of choked out. Jesus says there are people like that too. Jesus explains all of this parable to us, and it may very well prompt us to consider just what kind of dirt are we. Are we good dirt? Are we productive dirt? Or are we the kind of dirt that makes it impossible for the word of God to blossom inside of us? Are we the kind of dirt where the word of God is wasted on us? We hear the word of God, but it's wasted. I think all this is worth considering, of course, but there's the one part of this parable that Jesus doesn't explain. And it's the part that I believe is the most important. And it's the fact that Jesus doesn't say anything in his explanation about the sower. He doesn't say anything about the sower. I want to know who the sower is. Who is this reckless, wasteful sower? Who is this sower who doesn't care anything about how he dispenses this seed? Why doesn't Jesus tell us anything about the sower? I think this parable is not just telling us something about ourselves, but more importantly, it's telling us something about God. It's telling us that God is like this sower. God is not a measured God. God is not a calculating God. God is not a frugal God or a stingy God. But God is a lavish God. God is an extravagant God, a profligate God, a God who has no problem being recklessly wasteful when it comes to dispensing his graciousness in the midst of this world. It's not just this parable where we learn about the graciousness of God, But in other parables as well, in the parable of the prodigal son, we are told about a father who, when his son comes back, the father kills the fatted calf and holds a big party, all of it for his son, the son who turned his back on him. And yet the father throws a big party, and I would say, and the older son in the parable says, "What a waste." And yet that's the kind of God that God is. Or there's the parable of the shepherd who risks 99, the welfare of 99 sheep, to go looking for one sheep. And you might say to yourself, what a waste. You're going to put at risk 99 sheep to go look for one. But that's the kind of God that God is. Or that's the parable about a man who gives an invitation to a banquet, but all of those who are invited refuse to come. And yet the man has the banquet anyway, and you say, what a waste. But God doesn't care, because that's the kind of God that God is, a lavishly, recklessly, wasteful God when it comes to dispensing God's grace. And this morning Jesus says, a sower goes out. And he's spreading seed all over the place. Doesn't care. He's spreading it all over the ground. Wastefully. You know, every so often people will say, you know, you followers of Christ, you're just wasting your time. You're wasting your time in what you're doing. You're wasting your time in the world. You're trying to speak words of love in a world that insists upon hate. You're trying to speak words of peace in a world of never-ending conflict. You're trying to speak words of reconciliation and forgiveness in a world that doesn't want any of that. You're just wasting all of your time and efforts. What a waste. And sometimes that's said in the local congregations as well. Sometimes we might even say it ourselves, what a waste. Particularly in smaller congregations where we're constantly having to watch what we spend. The temptation for us is not to want to risk anything, to not to want to put ourselves out in any way, to be as careful as we possibly can. The last thing you want to do is to waste anything. I remember several years ago in one of the churches I was in, we were talking about whether or not the church was going to have an Alcoholic Anonymous program inside the building, and there was great debate about it because the church was just a small church, and it was brought up that, it was just going to be another day that you'd have to keep the heat on in the building, and people didn't know if they wanted to do it, but it was voted that it be done, and so we had an Alcoholic Anonymous class, and two people showed up the first week. And the second week, two people showed up, and the week after that, two people showed up, and finally, some of the more responsible financial voices in the church said, we only have two people. It's a waste. What a waste. But someone said, that's the way that God is. God is a God who is not afraid to be wasteful, even if it means just for two people. God is a God who is lavishly wasteful. Sometimes we might say, boy, what a waste. Is what we're doing making a difference? Is all the work and activity do we do, is it making a difference? Are we reaching the young children on a substantive bases who come to the Vacation Bible School. It's a lot of work. I hope it touches them in some way. Is all the work that we do in the community, is it worth it? Is it touching people, or is it just wasted time? But in God's kingdom, we're reminded that there is much waste, because that's the kind of God that God is. Of course, if the story stopped there, it would be a discouraging story indeed. But the parable also promises something else. Yes, it says there's going to be all kind of waste. Yes, there's going to be much effort on people who will not respond to God's word. Yes, there's going to be a lot of seed that is thrown on a lot of ground that has no chance whatsoever to be productive. But the parable also promises a graceful harvest. Jesus says that some of the seed fell on good ground. Some of the seed fell on good soil. Some of the dirt was good dirt. And when the seed fell, it produced. It produced 100-fold and 60-fold and 30-fold. There is some dirt out there that's good dirt. Sometimes the seed takes root. I think the challenge for us and the problem for us is that we sometimes like to see the seed take root the way we want it to take root. We want to see it yield the way we want it to yield. But often that's not the way that God works. Sometimes we don't know when and how what we do will bear fruit. I was reading the other day about John Harvard. John Harvard was a young 17th century immigrant from England who came to the United States. He was a man filled with promise, an academic prodigy. He was going to do all these wonderful things, but he died in a little less than a year upon coming to the United States. Such promise seemed wasted. He would bequeath what he had to help found a small college. He had 700 pounds and a few books. But the college that he founded would go on to be Harvard College or Harvard University, one of the foremost universities in the world, a university that is responsible for the education of many brilliant minds. It was seed that fell on good dirt. I was reading, too, about a man who was in his 60s, had a rough childhood. He was abused as a child, and because of that abuse, he suffered many issues and problems in his early 20s. He was homeless, divorced twice, an alcoholic. And I don't know if he ever heard God's word, God's love for him before, but one day somebody spread the word of God to him, and it took hold. In some ways, his life kind of looked like the seed that just falls on somebody's heart and stayed there, because his life was certainly one in which he was trampled over and walked on. But at some point, he heard the word of God. Somebody preached to him the word of God. He heard God's word speaking to him, God's word of love, God's life-giving word, and it took root. And he dedicated his life to helping the homeless. And so he ended up being a faithful director of a county agency where they service people who are homeless. But he was good soil. He was good dirt. And Jesus says, listen. Listen, a sower goes out. A sower goes out and he spreads seeds everywhere. He doesn't necessarily spread it to the places where one might think something has a chance to grow, but he's spreading it all over the place. He's spreading it on lives that look like they have no chance of bearing any fruit. He's spreading it on people that look totally unproductive. He's spreading it all over the place. Because that's the kind of God that God is. Listen, I'll tell you another story. Only this story is not a parable. This story is the story of truth itself. It's the story about a God who gave everything that he had. A God who gave the whole world his word enfleshed. His word that is his only son. His word that was crucified for each and every one of us. And I'm convinced that there was probably, from God's perspective, nothing more wasteful than to give his only son for all of us. And yet we are told that the result was a beautiful, wonderful harvest because Jesus is the first fruits of the new creation. And all of those who are in Christ are also a part of the new creation. And that's why you and I are here this morning. We are a part of that new harvest. We are a part of the new creation. We are a part of the people all over the world. Some of us multiplied 100-fold, 60-fold, 30-fold. But we are a part of the new creation. Because of the lavishness, the extravagance, the graciousness, the reckless wastefulness of a loving God. Jesus says, listen. Listen to this parable about a sower who goes out sowing the words of love and grace and life for the sake of this world that God so very much loves. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you this morning. We thank you again, for your great love for all of us, your great love for the whole world. We thank you for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ giving himself for each and every one of us. Lord, we pray that you would help us to be good soil. Help us to be good dirt. Help us not to let our Lord's sacrifice go to waste, but help us to be your giving, sharing, loving people in the midst of your world. And we ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.